Hey, everybody there at ROH. Sorry I couldn't be there. I had a long drive ahead of me, but I can just give you my picks now for how awesome this was this evening. It says,
John, we're at your brother's.
Sorry.
I don't know what to do with my hands anymore. Hi, all you PC WrestlePod. Listen, John is away. Normally, the captain of the ship has decided to go to a retreat, so he's left the rest of the crew in charge. We're probably going to burn this mother down, but we shall see what happens. Hi, all you BC WrestlePod nerds out there, and welcome to another rendition of the Biconic Review of Honor, a.k.a. The Bro, where we are here to review every single week your Ring of Honor. This time, this week's episode is Ring of Honor on Thursday, March 21st, 2024. Leading the way tonight is I, who goes by Mikey, who is also known as El Jefe around these parts. I run the ship and I take care of the children. So, you know, in the words of Tammy Brown, the drag queen, I'm walking kids in nature. It is a fantastic time. But I am not alone in this endeavor. I cannot do this alone. I don't want to do this alone. But thankfully, I have my other two co-hosts here. First and foremost, going by his screen name of Dean Ambrosia tonight, Jesse. Hello, my friend.
Good to see you again, Mikey. Always a pleasure.
Yes, I love doing this review every single week with you. And another person I like doing this, and I'm going to see him later this evening, spoiler alert, Mr. A to Z himself, Andrew, my NXT, TNA, Ring of Honor, but the trifecta of all the acronyms.
What's up?
It's like Scary Movie. What's up? It's going to go off the rails tonight. I'm just going to let you know right now. So I am currently running on 4 hours of sleep because a certain Dynamite Rampage Worlds Collide video is giving me issues last night, so I'm going to be a little loopy, but I'm going to enjoy myself. And I have to say, before we dive into everything bit by bit, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. But before we do that, let's get through housekeeping. So if you enjoy what we do here at the BC WrestlePod, make sure to check out all the other videos we got going up on here. We have pretty much all the reviews for all the major shows and the pay-per-views and the PLEs. And we're also working on some very fun stuff in the process. The professor may or may not be doing some sort of promo video being fed to a certain machine on the internet and how hilarious that's going to be entailed. Listen, I got bits and pieces of it. It is fantastically stupid and I'm here for it. And we're also working on a new video series. I'm kind of heading that up and that's going to be dropping in the next couple of weeks. So I'm super excited to get that new series rolling. But if you want even more shenanigans, you can see all the out of context clips and just watch us yell and scream at each other and tell each other that you're wrong, but I love you all over the social medias at BC WrestlePod. We are on Instagram, X, Facebook, TikTok, Threads. We're not diving into Snapchat because that's very problematic. But if you're like, that's a lot of social, and YouTube as well, but that's a lot of socials. Where can I find you? Well, if you want to find your one-stop shop for all our social medias, as well as the links to Patreon and the rest of the ways that you can donate to the cause via Venmo, Cash App, and PayPal, you can check out our link in the bio and in the description of all our social medias and the YouTube page. We are happy to be partnered with Next Level, where your one-stop shop for wrestling community and continuity is always a thing. Thank you, Next Level, for making it so easy, much easier for people to find us. It's less taxing to just throw all the links out all at once. It's just one stop right there. We're good to go. And make sure that you check out Next Level, because this is the last week for the WrestleMania contest for your chance to win a full expense paid trip to night two of WrestleMania 40. That includes airfare, hotel, and two tickets to night two, as well as tickets to the Monday Night Raw after Mania as well. So if you want to know more about that, check in our Next Level app description in below. Now, you might be asking yourself, I can't watch these beautiful faces all the time. I got things to do. Well, never fret, mon ami, because you can take us on the go now, because we have audio versions of all our reviews. So you can watch us, or you can listen to our beautiful voices carry you through your day, whether that be studying for a test, trying to get through the 9 to 5, or if you're taking care of business on the porcelain throne. We don't care where you listen to us. We just care that you listen at all. But then last but certainly not least, you might be wondering, hey, these nerds are kind of cool. Is there any opportunities to meet you guys live and in person? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the BC WrestlePod boys are taking a trip to the New Jersey Wrestle Show happening Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th. We are going to have a table, so if you want to talk to us live and in person, stop by our booth, come say hi, buy some fantastic merch, strike up a conversation with us, and depending if we get approval, we may or may not be having a party as well, so come say hi. Ain't no party like a BC wrestle party. I'm just telling y'all, it's going to be a fantastic time. It's going to be great. Now that I've gotten all of the advertisements out of the way, let's get to the meat and potatoes of why we're really here. We are here to talk about Ring of Honor. So let's just dive straight in, because Ring of Honor did not waste any time this week, because we open up with the first of our two semifinals matches. But before we do that, as always here at the Bro, hands in, gentlemen. We are respecting the code of honor. Shake on it and let us begin. So, Ring of Honor opens up this week with our first of two semifinals matches for the ROH World Women's Television Championship Tournament. And our opener match saw Mercedes Martinez taking on Billy Starks in a fantastic opener. This was everything I wanted. Then some. These women went at it. This was just such a great way to open up a Ring of Honor this week. I have no complaints. This was fantastic. Ultimately, Billy Starks does pick up the win here, and she is moving on to the Supercard of Honor for the finals of this tournament. Jesse, I'm going to go to you first. Martinez versus Starks. What a way to open it. How did we feel about this match?
I absolutely love this match. This was an early contender for match of the night for me. They managed to pull off something challenging, which is getting both of the women in this to look strong towards it, because Billy was getting squashed during the first 8-10 minutes of this match. We had the stalling suplex where I swear Capri said when he was counting up to 30, I think he said 20 teen, which just made me giggle. Dumb stuff like that just keeps me engaged. It was a fantastic match. And then we had the ending where it kind of made sense, because never in 100 years did I think Billy Starks was going to overpower Mercedes, but then her to get that quick win, the quick roll up win there, but it wasn't in the context of a distraction. It just worked, and loved it. Great way to start the match. You know, I was very happy and excited to see what the rest of the night had to bring after this.
Absolutely. Andrew, Mercedes and Starks once again kill the game out here. What did we think of our opener this week?
I mean, Mercedes beat the crap out of Billy for most of this match. It was a really good match, and I think they're really showing how Billy can come back from adversity. Virtually everything she threw after the first like minute or so of the match looked like it took everything that she had. And by the end of the match, it looked like a real brawl. Like, both of them were just exhausted, hurting. Like, you could see the wear and tear the match had put on both competitors. So I thought it was phenomenal. This was my match of the night. And in hindsight, looking back at it, my only complaint is I think this should have been the main event. And I think our next match should have been the opener, because I think we should have put some separation between the two matches. And I think this match set the bar really high for the rest of the night. So
yeah. Let's remember that statement as we get to the end, because I 100% agree, and I have a few things to say about that. Not too spicy tonight. We're more on the mild side. I'm in a good mood, so that's not a bad thing, though.
Although, absolutely.
Correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, because you've both been watching Mercedes Martinez a lot longer than I have. This is one of the few times I've seen the Razor's Edge Dominator get kicked out of. So that was kind of a big spot for Billy, and, you know, awesome for Mercedes putting her over in that regard.
Oh, yeah. I think what helps with Mercedes, too, is because she's been in the business for, like, what, Andrew, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like 20 plus years at this point, she's been in the game for a very, very long time. And so she has cultivated multiple finishers. And normally I'm the type of person that doesn't necessarily like when finishers get kicked out of, because it kind of, to me, cheapens a finisher. But because Mercedes has multiple ways to either make you get pinned or to tap you out, I'm more okay with it. And I think it adds credence to the story we're telling. I was like, Billy has been training, is under the tutelage of Athena. So, of course, she's going to start picking up on some things that most people wouldn't, especially when facing Athena. And more importantly, I love when, you know, it looks like they actually did their research on their opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nice thing is Mercedes' character is such a heel, but she comes across when she performs as someone who's willing to do something to move the story forward, put over the new talent, work with those people to bring them up. She seems like a very strong team player in that regard. And I think, like you said, Jesse, this was a great match to make both of these competitors look strong, because Billy's gotten beat up 2 weeks in a row, yeah, but managed to come out on top. And so it shows how good both sides are. So it doesn't diminish anyone in the rankings or in the division or anything like that, which is also really smart when you're setting up a new title.
And it also kind of gives us that little thread of the storyline of, you know, Billy hasn't really dominated as we've seen in the past. She survived these past two matches. How long is her luck going to last? Will it make it through the final round?
Well, only time will tell, because as Caprice and Ian mentioned a couple of times throughout the evening, we are two weeks out from Supercard of Honor, which is nuts to think about, because we are so much closer than I had thought we were. I'm like, oh my goodness, we are close to the big wrestling weekend of all the promotions across all the brands. April is going to be jam-packed, because BC WrestlePod here is going to be covering not one, not two, but over the course of April, six different pay-per-views. And four of them happen to be all crammed into the first weekend. It's going to be fantastic.
Going to be a fun weekend.
It's going to be fun. I look forward to it. Stay tuned, as next week I'm going to be dropping that announcement in one of the shows of what to expect come WrestleMania weekend and for all the boys and all the reviews. But we move on from a fantastic match to another solid one. Obviously, the bar was set super high with Mercedes and Billy. And I agree with my co-host in echoing that I wish we spaced these two matches out more, because after these two, I was already rearing to go, and then it was an up and down from there. But our second match of the evening is our second semifinals match for the ROH World Women's Television Title Tournament. This time, we have the epitome of what I call black girl magic, because we got Queen Aminata versus Red Velvet. And what I thought, not as hard-hitting as what we saw that opened the show, but I still thought this was a fantastic match. And I love Queen, but I gotta give it to Red Velvet. Has had one heck of a performance throughout this whole entire tournament since coming back from injury. I thought this was super fantastic, and I'm not being biased when I say I'm happy that Queen picked up the victory here. Andrew, not as hard-hitting as what we saw previously, but still an enjoyable match. What are your takeaways between Queen Aminata versus Red Velvet?
Yeah, like I said, I would have liked to have seen this spaced out a little bit, just to give us a breath between these matches, and maybe put some, you know, tension on, like, all right, who's going to be the final entrant into this final? But this match was awesome because it really had a chance to put Aminata's strength on display. Caprice even pointed it out at one point. She caught Red Velvet like 7 different times. She reversed 2 Hurricanrana attempts and then got caught in a 3rd one, which looked super brutal. They called it a driver.
She got spiked hard on
that. Yeah. One. That was crazy. But it looked like she took it fine. She was up and at him afterwards. But yeah, it was another brutal match. Both of these, it was another match where both people put it on. Like, they put everything into this match. Aminata's strength and Red Velvet trying to overcome that brutal running kick that she did to Red Velvet when she was leaning against the bottom rope was brutal. And I agree. I think Aminata picking up the victory here was smart because she's on such a hot streak. And I think Red Velvet in her return has really like found her way back up the ladder. And so Aminata winning this, it just keeps her upward trajectory going. And her versus Billy is really a clash of like the new generation of women's wrestlers in Ring of Honor. And that match, if it's like these matches that we've seen these two in this entire tournament, it's going to be an amazing match. I'm super excited for it. They'll give Athena and Sheeta a run for their money.
I can't wait. And that's a fun problem to have when all your women's matches are complete bangers and you're just like, which one was fantastic? Jesse,
I honestly same question. The women's TV title match should be the opener for Supercard of Honor, and the women's title match should be the main event for, because the men's, yeah, it's going to be a good match, but it's not been there for me. Eddie's not been there. I know he's doing 800 other things right now, so I'm not faulting him, but I feel like you really need to highlight your women, and this is a great spot to do that. Speaking of highlighting your women, I really like this match. I think I enjoyed it better than both of you did, because this was another one for a contender for a match of the night for me. I liked the stylistic change. It wasn't as fast. It wasn't as quick or as fluid as the match before it, but that's okay. It made sense to me because a lot of it was ground-based in the beginning, which is what was playing to Queen's strength, because Red Velvet couldn't get up and get all of her strikes in. She just kept having to be grounded every time she would jump. Queen would catch her and put her down. And I really enjoyed that, watching Red Velvet struggle in that kind of uphill battle against Queen. And it really worked for the story within the match itself. I got to say, I was a little frustrated with the crowd here because they were so flat during this, which goes to Andrew's point in spacing the matches out correctly, because they were in it for the Mercedes and Billy match. But then the next match, they were gassed already. So they should have done something different here. You know, one of the enhancement matches that we had, we'll go from there. But I really like this match. I really like the ending where Queen was just like, nope, and that's it. And end of the match, we're done. I liked that. I don't know if that's going to be her finisher, and I hope she finds something different. I know she's got a few ones she's been testing out. That one doesn't have a lot of longevity, and CTE is a big thing. But I loved the ending of this match. And again, this was another one for me that was a match of the night contender.
I thought this was fantastic.
Go ahead, Andrew. Like to point out, I did appreciate that they pointed out that Queen Aminata was honoring Ramadan during all of this. So mm-hmm. She did this match with likely like either in the middle or the end, coming up on the end of her fast for that day. So, you know, she's doing that on very little fuel and things like that. So that's a big thing in sports and stuff for people who follow that. Follow that practice. So that it's impressive that she did all of that during that. But I also like that they pointed out, if you know, like I noticed it when she came in, she was in very different gear. And I liked that they pointed out that she was wearing it in respect
to mostly
that
covering. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I just thought that was a cool little thing that they pointed out, and they respected it, just like, you know, they pay respect for a lot of other things too. So
I really hope they continue to do things like that. They did it for Sammy, I think, a week and a half ago or so, and they're doing it for Queen as well. And I'm glad that the wrestling community is starting to incorporate and acknowledge those things as opposed to just ignoring them. Like that's important. Representation is incredibly important, as we all know quite well.
Yes. Yes, we do. And it's important. I am happy to see Queen pick up a win. She rose up in the ranks as one of my favorite newer talents here on the scene. And honestly, I'm really stoked for Starks versus Aminata at the Supercard of Honor, which is going to be another fantastic match. Jesse, you mentioned representation. So we move on to a backstage promo that's also you know, being representative of a different kind, we have Kiara Hogan giving this promo. And, you know, she reflects on what has happened in the Andrew knows where I'm going with this. So Kiara Hogan reflects on her, you know, match that she had in the television title tournament. And then she pivots the promo by calling out her. Well, if you didn't know now, the rest of the wrestling world already did at this point, but she made it official. She calls out Diamante and says that, you know, you've been talking all this game. It's like, you said you're going to fight. We fought before, but now we're really going to fight. So you have two options. You can fight me in this ring, or you can see me at home. I'll let the balls in your court and I'll see you whenever. So I was like, yep, the girlfriends are fighting. I love this. This was fantastic.
I really like this promo. I like the fact that there wasn't like the subtle nod. It was like, no, this is legit. I know, you know, let's acknowledge this. And it worked for me. It worked so well. I know we had one that was later on that was kind of the reverse of it, which we'll get to, but I really like this one. And yeah, if I get to see Akira Hogan versus Diamante next week, I'm not going to complain about that at all.
Yeah, it was really good, especially that they tied it in with the TV tournament and that there's two women's titles, so there's a lot more chances for the women in Ring of Honor. And I enjoy it because even though they've got this tension going on screen, I can only imagine how much fun it is to, you know, when you get to work with, you know, a sibling or a best friend or your partner or something like that, like when you get to do that, especially in a performance space. When you're traveling around and doing, you know, this kind of work all the time, it's got to be fun to be able to get to do this program together and really play into their characters that they've spent years building. So I always enjoy it when it's good work that we get to enjoy, but knowing that the performers are enjoying doing the work as well.
I really enjoyed this. There's a lot of playfulness behind the two promos that we got, which is fantastic. And that's one of the reasons I really love Ring of Honor, is that we get some fun wrestling, some amazing wrestling, but they also, fun being the operative word for a lot of this. We do have, so this is my first critique of the night, outside of the match of what we're about to talk to next. But we jump cut to not one, not two, but Caprice and Ian make sure to let us know that we changed like 3 to 4 different locations in the span of this hour episode. It's like, hey, we're in this city. Now we're in Canada. Oh, now we're in Georgia. I was like, we're all over the map on this one. And I'm like, I understand. I appreciate it. But you don't got to tell me all the time when we change it, which I understand. So I'm like, this is 3 different. Wow, this is 3 different tapings. That's crazy. All right, let's rip the Band-Aid off this one. So next up, we have our first men's match of the evening, and this is Lee Johnson taking on the local Canadian boy himself, as we were in Canada for this one, in Mr. Lightning over here. Okay, we don't need to rehash, and we have said everything for the last couple of weeks of what we need Lee Johnson to do. So let's try to stay focused on the match itself. It was really weird because I was cheering for Lightning the whole entire time, and so was the crowd.
Yeah. My biggest complaint, and I know this is dipping a bit into what you already said, Mikey, but why is Lee Johnson going from wrestling someone like Solo last time we saw him, who is someone who's relatively known, to then going back to wrestling local talent like London Lightning? And he just came off of a promo where they're trying to get us excited about, like, this is the year. So why not have him against someone who we at least recognize? You know, there's a lot of people who go out there and they lose every week anyway. So you can have Lee Johnson face against them. I mean, you know, Slim J, Gringo Loco, Serpentico, like there's a lot of John Cruz, you know, there's plenty of options for people for him to face. But this match in general, yeah, I was more excited about London Lightning, but overall it was so fast that it didn't really do much for me, even if I was more invested in Lee Johnson, his story. I don't understand why they didn't have Lee Johnson do something before the match, after the match, do something to like hook us into this, because otherwise all we got was just, here's a men's match. It's not even that it was Lee Johnson in the match or London Lightning. It was just another men's match. It didn't stand out for me. And this was one of those matches that I was like, we could have had something else here.
All righty. Andrew, you have said your piece. Jesse.
To respect your wishes, I will keep it simple. The match went 4 minutes too long. That's all I got.
Very fair. Yeah. Again, none of us boys want to see Mr. Johnson fail. We want to see him succeed, but we got to do something with his character. And we got to be consistent with it, as, you know, Andrew, you pointed out too. The consistency is also important in wrestling booking, because if you go from wrestling kind of known talent and you keep going flip-flopping between that and just local talent, which is nothing wrong because we always want to give a shine of our local talent and local promotions, because who knows, we might be seeing them again in the future on these programs. But if you're trying to get Lee over with everyone, you got to be consistent with it. And the match itself was fine. Obviously, the hometown crowd was booing Johnson because he beat the hometown boy. And Caprice and Ian made sure to let us know this is Johnson's 7th straight win, I believe. Mm-hmm. So now that he's racked up wins, what are we doing with him next?
I would also like to point out that one of his first big wins, which didn't actually end up resulting in anything, he beat Josh Woods.
Don't remind me.
And we haven't seen him since.
Yeah, and it's like Lee Johnson started out, I was like, all right, this seems like they're going to do something with him. And then they've taken it down. Like, his trajectory should have been the opposite of the way that they're building it. So for him and for us, I hope that there's something planned and then they're going to like jump on it soon.
I hope so too. But again, fingers crossed, Lee Johnson, we're hoping he succeeds. So then we get, all right, boys, I need you to grab your survival kits. I need you to grab your flashlights because we need to go searching, because we head backstage with Mr. and Mrs. TV and we find out they lost the boys. So we got to go search for them. You guys, hold up. Oh my goodness. Like, how do you lose the boys?
China, you lost them.
I think we need to get a few of our hosts, or at least especially one, a shirt that says Bears Eat Boys, because yeah, they do. They sure do.
Look, if we can't find it, we're making one. We're going to make it super stylish. And I got to make sure to tell our co-host, who we're going to see later tonight, about our idea and see what he thinks about it. We love you, Will. But Johnny TV lost the boys. How do you lose two? Oh my God. And Taya was like, how do you lose the boys? So this was the first half. You know, we were getting to check in with Taya and Johnny about how the boys are. And Taya fills us in. Last time they were doing great. This time, not so much. Johnny took them to go walking in nature and they were attacked by a bear. Taya couldn't get Johnny to figure out what kind of bear, you know, they got, which, you know, there's a whole plethora of innuendos you can go with that one, but we're not going to touch those.
Canadian bear specifically.
I mean, and Taya just made me laugh anymore. It's like, what kind? There's grizzly bears, polar bears, black bears. I was like, I see what you're doing and I love it. Which then prompts, out of nowhere, coming from underneath like the backdrop, is Dalton Castle, who's like, what? You lost my boys? And this was a hot mess, but like in the best way possible. And once again, Lexi killing it here. She's like, hey, so there's the positive. You have these boys. And we see like the Wish version of the boys like cut to camera over there. And Dalton's like, yeah, I have these boys, but I don't have the boys. And he's like, I gotta go find them.
He calls them single use boys. They're like disposable boys.
Your boys are single use.
I believe we call those sugar babies. No, I'm just kidding.
Before we derail the entire train, I think one of my favorite parts was at the very end, like right before the camera cut away, Lexi's yelling at Dalton, stop interrupting my interviews.
Again, Lexi killing the game. Like, she is one of my favorite backstage correspondents. Delight. This whole thing was just absurd, but in the best way possible. Now what I'm hoping is we get like filmed montages of Dalton Castle in the woods looking for the boys.
I need that. I absolutely need that.
Even Ian and Caprice are worried. They're like, oh no, the boys are lost. We got to go find them. I was like, yes, Ian and Caprice. Just the whole Ring of Honor commentary team and Lexi as the backstage correspondent. This is the trifecta that we need in other promotions, seriously.
And it works so, so well.
I've never wanted to meet a backstage or commentary personality as much as I would love meeting Lexi, because she just seems like such a fun and nice and happy person who, again, enjoys getting to do the things that she's doing, that like it just feels like it would be such a fun interaction. And that's awesome.
We love Dalton Castle and the TV saga. I am super excited again from everything we've gotten from the Photoshop things on social media. And now the boys are lost. I'm hoping we get some film vignettes of Dalton Castle a la like look like B-grade horror. If he films a screen of like the C-grade, if he gives me a Blair Witch Project type of segment where he's looking for the boys and runs and Abaddon shows up out of nowhere, I would like die. Be like best segment of 2024. That'd be fantastic.
We need grainy footage of Dalton Castle like doing the walk across the woods, like
yes,
a Squatch sighting,
the distressed peacocks project.
Yes, Brandon Cutler's the camera person.
Yeah,
that's
all right. I think we're getting a little too into this. I think we need to move forward to our next match, Mikey. You want to cue us into that?
Yes. So we go from a fantastic backstage promo with the TVs and Dalton Castle, and we get, so I didn't hate this match, I just wish it went a couple minutes more. I wanted to see more, but I was thoroughly excited. We got Rachel Ellering versus Hikaru Shida in her X-Men-esque entrance song, and you can't tell me otherwise. Shout out to X-Men 97 because it's fantastic so far. Go watch it, it's fantastic.
Oh, I loved that. The first thing I wrote was I loved Sheeta's gear and I loved the music for it. It was almost iconic at that point. I was really excited for this match and it was awesome. I absolutely loved this match. I thought it worked really well. Yeah, I agree. I would have had it gone a little bit longer and enjoyed it more, but I really enjoyed it for what it was because Rachel Ellering really, really took it to Hikaru Shida in a way I wasn't anticipating. And Rachel throws a really great clothesline. I've got to say that. It's hard. It's snug, but it's almost like Dan Severin level is awesome. Totally lost my train of thought there. The Athena coming out to what I thought was going to be an interruption, and then it wound up being, no, I'm here to watch and study. That was so smart. And when Sheeta went to fake throw Rachel into Athena, I just couldn't stop laughing. That was too funny. And Athena's yelling, you think this is funny? And then the one thing you hear Hikaru say is, it is funny, like just like deadpan. It was so good. I love this match.
Andrew?
Yeah.
How do we feel? Shida and Ellering.
First off, I agree. I love Hikaru Shida's new gear. Her ring gear was awesome. It was great to see Athena come out because I think it's building on this like unraveling of Athena because she's been so dominant and seeing this someone who's a legit threat. I like that they brought up the fact that Shida holds a victory over Athena and then that's kind of playing a part into Athena's mindset. I thought it was really good dynamics between Athena and Ashita. Athena and Shida to build towards the story for Supercard of Honor, which I really appreciate the fact that they're doing that in the short time that we have to build towards this title match because we're not getting this for essentially any title that's not held by a woman or going to be held by a woman in Ring of Honor. So it just shows that they can do this build in a short amount of time. I did feel like there was some missteps in this match. There were some miscommunications, some hiccups, some things that seemed to kind of go wrong. And so that kind of threw me off for a bit of it. But I mean, both of these performers are really great. And I thought it was a really good, solid match. And it did the job of getting me excited for Athena versus Sheeta.
I have to also point out, too, in the hour that was this Ring of Honor episode, we got like 90% of like women the whole entire hour. Like the majority of segments and matches were all around the women's division, which, shocker, if you let your women's division be booked competently, like, look what we can get. These are fantastic matches. And even the critiques we have are not nitpicky because they were all these talents are so good. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I didn't know I wanted Ellering and Sheeta until they announced that it was going to be on this episode. I was like, okay, now you have me intrigued. And now I want more. Give me more. And
That's Feed Me More. I was worrying about trademark there.
Oops. Yeah, we're not trying to get sued and copyrighted because that's the last thing we need. But this was fantastic. I love that we're getting to see a different side of Athena, where I was like, Athena, and Caprice and Ian would say it throughout the match and even later, is Athena starting to get worried about losing her title? Because Athena rarely worries about losing her title because she has so much confidence in her skills that she can beat any of these porcelain hussies, as she puts them. But she is the first time where she seems to be worried. And we will talk about that new character flaw later when we get the whole crew of MIT later in the episode. We'll save that discussion when we get there.
And I think it says something considering that Athena just came off a feud with
Nyla.
And Nyla's a huge powerhouse, but Athena was like, you know, the scrappy fighter. She was ready to go. She like, you know, went after Nyla, didn't back down, anything like that. Excuse me. And the fact that she's coming into this, I think it does show the light in which she sees Sheeta, and really makes Sheeta look like a danger to her title.
This is a fantastic match. I loved it. The women are killing it this episode so far. Sheeta picks up a victory over Ellering. I would love them to run it back at some point because this was fantastic. And again, we'll talk more about Athena's new flaw that has appeared because of Sheeta later in the episode. We go from this match, we get the kind of second half of what we saw with Kiara Hogan later. So backstage, this time we are with Diamante. She reiterates the same thing that Kiara had said, that it doesn't matter whether it's Queen or Billy who wins the tournament, because her Diamante and Mercedes have first crack at that thing. And then she addresses Kiara Hogan and says the same thing. I beat you once, I'm gonna beat you again. So I agree, I will fight you in this ring. We're gonna do this. And again, whether it's in the ring or at home, you're like, you about to get these hands, which makes me super excited. Then we get the announcement that it's Kiara Hogan and Diamante next week on Ring of Honor television. I'm like, oh my gosh, we get bumpers now? Yes. For Ring of Honor. I love me some good bumpers.
My favorite part of this was when she was all done and she was just like spitting fire at Kiara Hogan. And then she like roughly hands back the microphone to Lexi. Yes! Lexi's like, ooh.
It's like, again, Lexi, fantastic.
I thought this was okay. I don't think it was as good as Kiara's. I was very confused when she said, you better see me before I see you first. And are you cohabitating, or you're going to see each other at some point. So I don't know. I just, that line kind of pulled me out of it. Like, okay, that was a little silly. That didn't land the way you wanted it to. That's my only gripe though. But I'm happy to see Diamante getting some time with the mic.
I love that she took it from Lexi and then roughly gave it back to her. It's fantastic. And we do get Kiara and Diamante next week. So, yes, another fantastic women's match. That. So good. From here, we shift to another different city this time. We find ourselves in Georgia, I believe, this time. And I'm like keeping track of.
Why did you say it like that? You said Georgia the same way John says New Jersey. Like, Georgia?
Okay, let me give you a little background, because Georgia right now has been not great. And last time Dynamite was in Savannah a couple of weeks ago, that crowd was dead. I'm like, how do you have Thunder Rosa wrestling, and I forget who her opponent was, but it was, no, I think it was Sheeta and Thunder, and I'm like, how do you not cheer? The crowd was dead. I was like, Savannah, you failed. Like,
you suck. Thank you for the context. I think all of the people who watch this would appreciate context around the sneer, as you said, Georgia, so that helps. Thank you.
Yeah, and, you know, I've discussed it with the NXT boys because Battleground is going to also be back in Georgia. I'm like, they better not mess up Battleground after Stand and Deliver, because Georgia crowds have been hit or miss, and the last couple times any of the companies have rolled through, they not have been the greatest crowds.
We're going to have optimism around this, that they're going to be great. Moving on to the next match, we have...
Well, speaking of optimism and positivity, we had, you know, the incarnate of someone opening their third eye and Matt Sydal taking on the local talent of TJ Crawford. Don't get me wrong, I love me some Matt Sydal. I think he is fantastic, but once again, I feel that we could have gave another women's match here, or we could have done something different to further a storyline, because I love Matt Sydal, but this episode didn't necessarily need this match of the flow and everything that we had. And so, yeah, this you know, I thought Landon, Lightning, and Lee Johnson was out of place. This was definitely out of place for me. I'm like, okay, I'm happy to see Matt, but why?
The only thing I could see is it was a good way to reestablish Matt Sydal to newer fans, because he hasn't been on it. Again, just like the Lee Johnson match, it was fluid, it was athletic, but it didn't seem to fit. It seemed like it was shoehorned in. Oh, we might have more women's matches than men matches. We better get one in there. You don't need to, spoiler, you don't need to do that if the matches are good. Okay.
I can see Andrew is so enthused to talk about this. Andrew, what are your thoughts?
I mean, cool for Matt Sydal to get on, you know, Ring of Honor TV and all that stuff. But
be more excited about JT Crawfish.
Yeah. I'm just sad because he lost, you know. I was hoping this was his chance for the big run. I think we could have had men's matches on here, but we have a plethora of different places and different things that we need to be having matches built for. We don't need these two random matches in here that are not building to anything. And in 2 weeks, we have a huge pay-per-view event. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, we don't need these filler spots. These are matches that I wouldn't have been thrilled about in like a 6 weeks away from a big, you know, event, but coming up and being our like build up shows to a major event like Supercard of Honor, we don't need these little matches like this. Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, it was.
It
was pointless.
Yeah, it felt like it kind of smashed the whole momentum of the night, too.
Yeah, I mean, again, I love Matt Sydal, but I feel that this match in particular didn't add to anything that we've had so far. But that's neither here nor there. Glad to see Matt Sydal back on television. But again, like Andrew, you stated, we're 2 weeks away from Supercard of Honor, and there's a lot of title and stories that we're still nowhere near being complete to be booked for the show. So, and I have come to accept this. If we've learned anything last year with Ring of Honor's pay-per-views, we're probably going to get all the matches in the next 2 weeks. They're like, bam, bam, bam. I'm like, I want some story builds. Are they going to be bangers? Probably. But I want some build to it. And that's my biggest complaint about, you know, the multiverse company that, you know, has Ring of Honor's rights is the same thing. The matches are going to be fantastic, but I want a little bit of story.
Just a little.
Just a little bit. Speaking of story, this is where we get our two backstage segments before our main event. One was fantastic. One was okay. So let's start with the okay one. So King of the Bums himself, Eddie Kingston, cuts this pre-taped promo somewhere in one of the locker rooms in AEW's, you know, tour schedule. And he reminds us, and he reminded me because I completely forgot about this, after losing the Continental Championship to Okada this past week on Dynamite, he got a call from his mentor, Homicide. Shout out to Homicide. And, you know, reminded him, it's like, Eddie, you are, I can't repeat the words because we're going to get demonetized, but you're becoming a, you know, a wimp. And you need to go back to the crazy, vicious Eddie Kingston, which essentially sets up that Eddie's entering this championship match now as a semi-quasi-heel because he likes Mark Briscoe. They've known each other for a very long time. He loves him like a brother, but he can't promise Briscoe and Briscoe's family what's about to happen next. So Eddie's about to go total nuclear on this match. Cool. Sure. I like Eddie, but this did not do it for me.
I like Eddie. I do. I like what he kind of is representing in the working man's wrestler. I really enjoy that. King of the Bums, as you call him. The promo was okay, but a lot of the verbiage was weird and contradictory. He's saying, you know, how he loves Mark Briscoe, but then he's saying, I need to go to the place where I don't care about your well-being or I don't care about my well-being. Well, if you love somebody, you typically care about their well-being. And then said, and I can't be held accountable for what I do. Well, that's not going to hold up in a court of law. So it just, it didn't make sense for me. And I like when they're trying to use these very, like, I don't have a better word for badassery right now, imagery, but it doesn't work when it's just sounds of nonsense the whole time and when you contradict yourself two sentences later. So I guess it did its job for building the promo, but it didn't land for me. Oh, hat's coming Uh-oh. Off.
Oh no.
Andrew, I didn't know you had hair under there. I thought you were a part ago.
The hair hides the little attachment piece.
Okay.
So I would care more about this if I didn't already feel this way, and this promo made me feel even more this way, was that it feels now like Eddie is looking at the Ring of Honor title as a second choice or a consolation title. He's like, oh, I lost one of my titles. Well, I can't lose anymore. Like, I need this, so I got to hold on to these other ones that I just have, which also, like, what does that say about the strong title that he also has? Yeah. I'm just so over it with Eddie holding these three titles and then making this big thing out of it and not doing really anything with them. I'm happy to see it looks like he might be losing them, and it's not against him holding a title, but it's against them not doing anything with the titles. Also, once again, we've got the Ring of Honor world champion and her challenger appearing on Ring of Honor, having matches, doing promos, making appearances there. Like, every week we're seeing what I consider to be the real Ring of Honor World Championship make appearances and hold this show down. And all we get from, you know, one of our other champions is a pre-recorded promo, and we haven't seen anything from their challenger yet. Why are we not seeing anything from Mark Briscoe? On top of that, we're 2 weeks away. We haven't seen anything about the men's TV title, the six-man title, the tag team title, or the pure title. This has me wondering, what titles are we going to get at Supercard of Honor? Because they are not doing anything with these titles that have this history, and we're supposed to be saved by Tony Khan buying this company and you know, supporting it and all that stuff. But as far as I'm concerned, Ring of Honor is a women's wrestling organization that features some male wrestlers. And I don't take anything away from people like Johnny TV and Dalton Castle, you know, Ethan Page, like the people who are there working hard. But this episode was a great example of how much the women are holding this company and supporting it and doing it every single week. And it just makes me so frustrated. And this is across the board of them treating people, especially AEW people, like some special messiahs that we're going to just bring down and grace you with their presence at the expense of the people who put in the work every single week. And all this did was make me want to see Mark Briscoe just beat the crap out of Eddie and win that title.
Yes, Jesse. What do you like to share with the class?
To jump on what Andrew was saying, kind of parlay into that. They also take the Ring of Honor people once they get over and, hey, oh, we're bringing them up to AEW so that they can be fed to whomever else. So it's going both ways, but the transaction is not equivalent. And that is incredibly frustrating. Andrew, you spouted off all those titles and my brain went, oh, right. There are titles. I was under the assumption that we completely lost them. We have the men's title and the two women's titles and that's it.
Yeah, there's literally four other titles that we have no matches announced for. We haven't seen their champions in Ring of Honor in I don't know how long. And it there's no sign of them showing up. So now
what are we going to get? I don't even know who's holding what anymore.
Yeah.
Let me refresh your memory so we can all be angry together. So currently what's on the show is the real world championship, which is Athena's women's champion. We're holding this tournament for our Ring of Honor ROH Women's Television Champ. So those are the two titles there. But let me remind you of our other champions. Eddie Kingston holds the ROH World Championship. Right. Here's hoping that Mark Briscoe wins and let Briscoe have a run with it, which would be fantastic.
In Ring of Honor, please.
In Ring of Honor, which he would be happy to do. My only fear is based on whose match he interrupted 2 weeks ago on Collision, I'm afraid that they're going to make an appearance in ROH, which would be really weird and actually kind of make me upset of AEW interference in ROH like that, which really upset me, but that's neither here nor there. You have your tag team champs, the Undisputed Kingdom,
okay,
aka formerly known as The Kingdom. At least those are the only titles kind of being defended, just not on ROH television.
They were on for about 2-3 weeks in a row, and then we haven't seen them since.
They're lost in the Adam Cole cinematic universe.
Yeah, right now. Yuck. Okay.
It is a lot. You have your six-man tag champs, Bullet Club Gold, Jay White, and The Guns. Do you know how awesome that would be to have Jay White be in ROH for a little bit? Even if it's only a temporary thing, but he's on AEW doing everything else, but defending the six-man tag. I don't know why we took them off of Gates of Agony and Brian Cage. Like, honestly, I don't know what's happening with that whole thing. We have your pure champion, which is Wheeler Yuta, but he's been out on injury. So I don't know what we're waiting for. If they're waiting to see if Wheeler gets, you know, better, but if not, have the man vacate it, have a small tournament to happen, and tell me why it's got to be Josh Woods and Katsuyori Shibata. Like, that's just it. Shibata just came back. Like, literally, he's right there. I'm just saying. And then this last champion, I don't blame him because visa issues kind of prevented him from being on any wrestling television for a little bit. Kind of. But he's been stuck in the Don Callis black hole the last 2 weeks. But hopefully now that we're coming to the end of that, we have your Ring of Honor men's television champion, Kyle Fletcher, who before the visa issues was at least appearing on Ring of Honor defending that title. And then he went missing and we come to learn that he had visa issues. So he's been back for the last 2 weeks or so. So here's hoping that we can get Ethan versus Kyle Fletcher or something of that iteration, because I think we've been waiting. By the way, where has Ethan Page been the last couple of weeks? It's kind of nuts not to see or hear from him. It's been weird. But all to say is I'm excited for Supercard of Honor. But once again, just like we got at Final Battle, we're probably going to get all these matches last minute.
Yep.
Just putting it out there.
Speaking of preparing for Supercard of Honor, we have another promo to get to.
Which was the better of the two, yes, because we had the whole MIT squad like happening in this first half. We get Lexi and Billy starts all super excited. They can't wait. Billy has made it to the finals. Like, her and Queen are going to tear the house down. And then they're also hyping up Athena, which then props Athena to come in. She is like being paranoid as, you know, looking around, just wondering like who's going to attack her next. And she yells at Billy Starks and Lexi, be like, do you not understand? Like, she is legit worried. She's like, Sheeta just comes in here and she can hold that win over me. No. I was like, why are you hyping her up? Don't hide her up. I'm your champion. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, we have taken a turn with Athena. Like, she is starting to get paranoid and I'm here for it. Because
the standoff lines were great too. Because Billy, after she said, Billy goes, wait, she beat you? like Billy didn't even know because it was so long ago. And then Athena, shut up, Billy, and storms off. Like, okay, Athena's losing it.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Billy was in middle school or younger when that match happened.
This was fantastic. And again, I was alluding to this earlier. I love that even if it's a subtle change to Athena's character, Cheetah is the first, you know, threat since becoming Ring of Honor champion for Athena that she's actually worried about losing her title to, because Cheetah is probably the most decorated AEW women's champion in the company's history. Even though the company doesn't want to treat her as such, Ring of Honor would be happy to do so because Cheetah is just that good. And I love that even though we have seen Athena be cocky and confident against every challenger she's had a feud with, I love that she's acknowledging that, no, this is like mid-boss, final boss of a video game, because Cheetah is like literally the litmus test of being a good women's wrestler and a great women's wrestler. And so Athena has her work cut out for her. And I'm excited to see how the next 2 weeks we see Athena mentally and physically prepare for her match against Cheetah, because Cheetah is raring to go. And I'm going to be kind of honest. I think this match is going to bang. I think it's going to be fantastic. I would love to see Athena win, but my heart of hearts, I kind of want to see Cheetah have a title run in ROH.
I completely agree with that. And the whole final villain, final boss thing works because Cheetah definitely dresses like an anime villain, and I'm here for it. I absolutely love it.
Bro, she looks like the female version of Kefka. Like, she's the final boss of a Final Fantasy game.
Okay,
she's a cross between if you take, you know, the style of Kefka's outfits versus the charisma and just the oozing of badassery that is Sephiroth in Hikaru Shida. And it does also helps that her theme song is also very super nerd culture, because it reminds me of the X-Men theme from the 90s. It's fantastic.
That definitely helps.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anyone's gonna end Athena's reign, Cheetah is a great choice for that, because it's not a loss that diminishes Athena's run as the champion and what she has done in the time she's been of Ring of Honor. It elevates Cheetah up another level, because she is one of the most decorated, if not the most decorated, of the AEW women's champions. Her to be able to add the Ring of Honor title to her resume and have a good run with it, it would just be another great moment in her career. And it also takes, you go from Athena to Cheetah, to where all of the people who were challenging for that title and are like, oh, if someone could beat Athena, maybe then we'll have a shot. And when you see it, Cheetah, you're like, oh, well, crap. Like, you know, it's frying pan fire situation. Like, the person that took the title off of Athena might be even more dangerous, or at least just as dangerous. So, like, are we going to be able to dethrone that person? So I think it would be a great moment for all that.
I'm excited. This was a fun promo, which is building my excitement levels for what's coming down the line in 2 weeks. And then, just as we know it, we are heading into our main event for this episode, which I want to preface by saying, as someone who follows Stardom, it made me really super excited to see who Anna Jay was facing. I love Anna Jay, but more importantly, I really love me some Mina Shirakawa. If you've seen her work in Stardom, she is fantastic. She is so good. My biggest critique with this match, though, as much as I was excited initially to see that this match was on the card, I love both of these women. I feel that we should have started the show with this and swapped Mercedes and Billy, as you, Andrew, and you, Jesse, alluded to at the very beginning. And I think overall the flow would have been better, because I still thought this was a fantastic match. I think this is Anna Jay's best match since being in this whole multiverse of company. And as someone who already is familiar with Mina, I love her work. I think she's fantastic. She might be tiny, but those Joshi wrestlers have 50 million moves that they can tap you or submit you or pin you with, which is super fantastic. And I love that Ian and Capri shouted out her faction in Stardom, because Stardom's big selling point is that a lot of your women's wrestlers all belong to one of the five major factions in that company. So multiple championships, multiple factions, like, It was fantastic. I love this match. I just wish it opened it and we closed with Billy and Mercedes. And then that's my only critique, because I love the unorthodox style of Mina. And Anna Jay was really good in this match, too. It's not, I wouldn't mind seeing Anna Jay stick around in Ring of Honor for a little bit, honestly. I think it would do her some good.
Yeah, I agree. I think Anna Jay being in Ring of Honor would be really good for her, as well as, you know, the Ring of Honor fans and talent. I thought this was a really good back and forth match between the two of them. Anna Jay sold a lot of those strikes really well. I like the difference of styles that they brought in. But again, I agree. I made the note, too, that this should have been the opener, and the opener should have been our main event. Because I think the opener just set the bar so high, and especially coming off of the back of two kind of throwaway matches, this match was just fighting an uphill battle to get my energy back to where it was after the first two matches that we had, which is a bummer because, you know, both of these two went up there and they worked really hard. I'd love to see both of them back here in Ring of Honor doing some more stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good match, all in all.
I liked this match more than I thought I was going to. Not that there's anything to the talent that was in the ring. I just don't think, as it's been said before, this should not have been your main event. It was the first night over. It was, why is this the main event? There was no build for it to be in Ring of Honor. There was no, like, nothing. My first experience with Mina, was it Shirakawa? I really enjoyed her. I want to see more of her. Now that makes me want to watch Stardom. But as you know, aside from that, I don't even think the card needed it. It was a good match. And if it was an opener, it would have been better, but I don't even think it was even needed.
Yeah. As soon as I saw this match, I was like, oh, Mina's definitely winning. Even if it's just like a one-off appearance for now. But that's the other thing with Stardom, too. They're very protective of their talent going overseas and doing other stuff, because Stardom doesn't necessarily like if companies have partnerships with Stardom. They are very protective of their women, and very rarely do we see their women lose to other wrestlers in other countries and territories. But this is, I agree. I like this match. Again, we all three of us have said it. Swap this with what we got as the opener, and I think the flow would have been better, but I really hope this does mean we start to see more Stardom girls make their way to Ring of Honor. I mean, we literally saw Mina, and if we remember from Supercard of Honor last year, Athena faced another Stardom girl for that championship last year. And hopefully this means that ROH, Stardom will have a crossover with all those. I want to see more women, because you can never go wrong with more women's talent. But Mina picks up the victory here. I love that Anna Jay immediately picked up on the Joshi way of, you know, wrestling in terms of what they do after the match, holding hands, bowing to their opponent, very Joshi and just Japanese wrestling etiquette in general, which was I love. And Mina celebrating in the ring, doing the bows to all four corners of the ring. And that is how Ring of Honor goes off the air this week. So, boys, last thing we got to do before we go is on our empanada scale, how do we rate this week's Ring of Honor? And I will go first as the host with the most. I give this Ring of Honor a solid 7.5 out of 10. I thought overall, well, actually, no, I take that back. I'm giving this an 8 out of 10. And a lot of it goes to the fact that we got a lot of women's wrestling on this show. And if you were to show any naysayer that women can't be a draw, this is one of the episodes I would show. I said one because there are multiple other ones that I could show where the women just knock it out of the park. Even my minor nitpicks with some of the women's stuff we got tonight, it was still fantastic. But what brought it down was a little bit of, you know, having Mina and Anna close the show, which I still thought was a fun match, but we could have swapped it with Billy and Mercedes. And the men's matches that we got didn't really add to the overarching narrative of anything, which was kind of bizarre to see. But I still thought it was a fun show. It was solid through and through for me. And I give it an 8 out of 10 this week for Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I gave it an 8 as well. A lot of that heavy lifting was done by the first two matches. They were just so, I ranked them so high that they kind of compensated for some of the other matches. But they set the bar really high, and I felt like this show just let that momentum kind of fade. We could have done without two of the matches. I think they could have been replaced by give us some tag team matches and tell us that these matches are building to who's going to challenge for the tag team titles. We literally see tag teams on Ring of Honor every week. Why were we not using any of them in this? You know, we could have had other matches building towards titles, building up stories, doing that kind of stuff. But instead we just got two random matches. You know, if I'm being honest, even the generally solid promo stuff that we get, like the TVs and the MIT, like those groups, as fun as they were, they still felt like they weren't as good. They weren't quite as good as what we've gotten from those groups in the past. They were still better promos than most people are putting out across all of the promotions. But they've again set their bar so high that a step back, just I noticed it. I think the multiple taping locations splicing together different shows really hurt them. I would love if we get to a point where we can figure out how to make Ring of Honor an actual weekly show and build it like a show, because I think that will help tell stories and keep storylines going. And once again, if we can, after Supercard of Honor, get our titles back, I think that would really help solidify Ring of Honor and stop doing this, divide their titles as props to other companies.
Jesse?
I didn't rate this as highly as you two. This was a 7 for me, not an 8. I didn't need the men's matches. I wanted more build to Supercard of Honor. There's not much time to it left. Aside from that, I don't need to echo what either of you two gentlemen have said, because I think we're all in agreement there that while this was good, there were a few good matches. It was not great, and it could have done more for the future.
Yeah. I mean, but boys, we made it to the end of this week's Ring of Honor. So once again, hands in, gentlemen. We shake at the beginning and we shake at the end. So thank you for joining me for another fun episode of Ring of Honor. It's always a pleasure to do this with you boys. But the three of us are going to get up on out of here. So for those of you that watched this all the way through, thank you so much. You have no idea how appreciative we are of you tuning in every single week to watch four grown men yell and scream about professional soap operas. It is fantastic. I love it. It is great. Also, if anyone has any St. Bernards we could borrow, because we were serious, we're going to start looking for the boys. So we're going to get our gear ready to go search for the boys. But until next time, when we have an updated report for you all, remember, for all of us here at The Bro, as well as all of us here at BC Wrestle Pod, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay Biconic. More importantly, you deserve to finish your story, and we'll see you for the next one. But until then, ta-ta for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.